Tehillim with the commentary by Ma'am Loez by Rabbi Shmuel Ishami. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs, Shimon, and Hindu Manila of blessed memory. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this shiur on tape or CD or any of our other shiurim online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. This is shiur number 15. We are holding chapter 31, Pasuk 8. Pasuk reads, Agila ve'esmecha b'chastecha shireiso es anyi v'datok b'tzoros nafshi. I will be glad and rejoice in your loving kindness, for you have seen my affliction, you have known the troubles of my soul. When you bring me deliverance, I will not say, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this plenty, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. Rather, I will be glad and rejoice in your loving kindness. You have seen my affliction, which is there in the open for all to see, and you have known the troubles of my soul deep inside. When you will bestow your loving kindness upon me and save me from the hand of my enemies, and I will no longer be afraid, I will be glad and rejoice in your loving kindness and thank you for it. When one receives some benefit in a natural way, he has reason to rejoice only once. It is otherwise when one is saved through special divine supervision. The good that he receives does not cease. Based on the reading of Anyi, as my poverty, the pasuk is interpreted saying, although you have seen the poverty of my Torah learning and of my good deeds, and you have known the troubles of my soul, that is my sins, as it says the pasuk in Melachim, who shall know every man the plague of his heart? You have dealt with me with unreserved loving kindness. You have not given me over into the hand of the enemy. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Below his gartani biyad oyev hemadato b'merchov ragloy, and you have not given me over into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. We mentioned this pasuk in the previous pasuk, but now it's the official pasuk. You have not given me over into the hand of the enemy. An allusion to the Ziphites who informed Shaul that David hides himself with us in the strongholds in the wood, as brought down in Shmuel Aleph. But Hashem saved him, and David gives thanks for his loving kindness. Instead of having my feet being put in irons by my captors, you set my feet in a broad place, and I was able to escape. A person may be so utterly poor, so totally destitute, that he has no choice but to put himself into his enemy's power and seek his favor. This is a double evil. David gives thanks that he never sank to this level. For you have set my feet in a broad place, and I have no need of any man's favor. A man who is dealt with favorably is not readily dealt with unfavorably. And so David says, not only have you not given me over into the hand of the enemy, but you have set my feet in a broad place. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. Choneni Hashem ki tzarli asuso b'chaz eini nafshi uvitni. Favor me with grace, O Hashem, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away with vexation. Yes, my soul and my body. I am beset by new troubles. I am in distress. My eye wastes away with vexation. Yes, my soul and my body. Worry causes rot to enter the eye, the soul, and the inner functions of the body. So favor me with grace. A subtle interpretation says, David is anguished and having been driven into a rage against his enemies. For anger and wrath do not befit the perfected man. Accordingly, he says, for I am in distress, my eye wastes away with vexation, yes, my soul and my body. I sorrow that my rage was so terrible to cause injury to my eyes, my soul, and my belly. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Ki cholu vegoyun chayai ushnosai ba'nocha koshal, for my life was spent in sorrow, and my years in sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones are wasted away. David goes on to explain what it was that brought about that. My eye wastes away with vexation. Yes, my soul and my body. It was unceasing worry about his enemies. My life was spent in sorrow, and my years in sighing on account of my enemies who never left me alone. Moreover, my strength fails because of my iniquity. Thus a man might say, such and such happened to me on account of my sins. Two, that's T-O-O, my bones, once so strong and firm, are wasted away. For my life is spent in sorrow, and my years in sighing. David laments the days and years of his life wasted in groaning and suffering, which kept him from Torah study and from properly serving Hashem. Some explain that David says here, from that day onward, when I killed the Plishtim Goliath, Shaul began to hate me. As it says in Shaul, I, David, with hatred, from that day and forward. Thereafter, my life was spent in sorrow, and my years in sighing. I was a step away from death, for sighing and groaning break down the body. Pasuk good base, Pasuk 12. He called Sorai ho yisi cherpo v'lishchenei, me'odu pachad l'mudo'ai ro'ai b'chutz nodudu mimeni. Because of all my adversaries, I become a disgrace, especially to my neighbors, and a dread to my acquaintances. Those that see me on the street flee from me. Because of all my adversaries who wrong me and plot against me, I become a disgrace. I run from place to place to evade them. I am humiliated, especially to my neighbors, before my own people Israel, who shame me and revile me. I am a source of dread to my acquaintances. They are in trepidation, lest any day I fall into the hands of my enemies. I am reviled by all my adversaries with the most bitter abuse, as when Shimei ben Gera cursed me. Begone, begone, you man of blood and vileness. Pasuk is found in Shmuel Beis. The result is that I am a disgrace to my neighbors, and my friends fear for my life more than for their own lives. Those that see me on the street flee from me, lest they too suffer injury for being in my company. Some say that my neighbors refers specifically to David's arch enemies, Doeg and Achitophel. The term Nidro literally means to be in motion, and some say that here it refers to agitations of the body. That is to say, those that see me begin to tremble, their bodies are agitated. When one is pursued by enemies, his neighbors and acquaintances will usually encourage him and advise him. They will not let him fall into despair. Hashem will not fail you or forsake you, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. They say to him, deliverance will come in the end. Instead, David says that he sees no cause for hope anywhere, neither inside or outside of himself. His strength is gone, and at home his friends and neighbors revile him even more than his enemies do. Instead of offering him encouragement and consolation, they fill him with dread. This is an indication that David never saw a bad dream, but others saw dreadful dreams about him. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 13. Nishkachti kameis milev, hoyisi kechli oved. I am forgotten like a dead man from the heart. I am like a lost, useless vessel. Because I have become a dread to my acquaintances who are afraid of me and are in despair of me, I am forgotten like a dead man from their heart. I am like a dead man whose loved ones have lost all hope of seeing him return to them. I dwell among them, but so desperately perilous in my situation that they think of me as dead. I seem like a lost vessel to them, a lost ship for which there is no hope that it will ever be found again. This is an allusion to the time when David fled to Achish, the king of Gus of the Plishtim, as found in Shmuel Aleph. To his own people, he was then forgotten like a dead man from the heart, and in the hands of the Plishtim, he was like a lost vessel, as he pretended that he was mad. Some explain David's words as follows: although they had forgotten me because they thought me to be dead, I was only like a lost vessel that bears a mark of identification. Eventually it will be returned to its rightful owner. A subtle reading of the pasuk says, why is a dead man forgotten from the heart after 12 months? For in that first year the deceased is remembered as each new season arrives. People say, last year this time we were together. After 12 months, however, the different divisions of the year have all come and gone. Similarly, one who found a lost article will call out his fine 3 times a year during the pilgrimage festivals in Shlaim. If the owners did not claim it, this was taken as a sign that they had already become resigned to the loss. There's an allusion to 12 months in the 12 words of the previous pasuk, and in the 12 words of Nishkachti, 12 letters of the word Nishkachti Kemetz Milev, I am forgotten like a dead man from the heart. Pasuk Yudalit, Pasuk 14, Kishamati Dibas Rabim Morgor Misaviv Bihivastam Yachad Olai Lokachas Nafshi Zomimu, for I have heard the slanderous whispering of the many, terror on every side, while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life, my soul. I've heard the whispering of the many when they took counsel together against me to plan terror on every side of me. They devised to take away my life. This is an allusion to Doeg and Achitophel, who incited Shaul by telling him that David sought his downfall. As it says, and David said to Shaul, why do you listen to men's words, saying, behold, David seeks your hurt? This pasuk is found in Shmuel Aleph. Accordingly, he says here, I have heard the slanderous whispering of the many. Doeg and Achitophel, in their erudition and cunning, were equal to many people together. And David anticipated that Shaul would believe them. Because of their genius for evil and the deep cunning of their counsel against me, there is terror on every side of me. Pasuk Tesvav, Pasuk 15. Ani alecho betachti Hashem, omarti elokai otam. But as for me, I have trusted in you, O Hashem, I have said, you are my God. David saw no hope that deliverance would come from his neighbors or from his own striving. I have trusted in you, O Hashem, he cries out, you are my Hashem, and you can save me from all my troubles, as we'll learn now in the next pasuk. Pasuk Tes Zayin, Pasuk 16, B'yadcho itoso hatzileni b'yad oyevai meirut foy. My times are in your hand, save me from the hand of my enemies and from them that hound me. My times are in your hand. Different times pass over me, and they all come at your command and by your decree. Another interpretation says, the times set by my enemies to capture me and take my life are in your hand, not in their hands. So save me from the hand of my enemies, from them that hound me. Doeg and Achitophel had knowledge of the times, astrology, and they conferred between themselves about the most favorable time to seize me. However, my times are in your hand. You set the pattern of celestial motions, and nothing is too wondrous for you to accomplish. You can thwart their plans. The present pasuk is thus a natural continuation of the earlier pasuk. I hate them that have regard for empty vanities. I hate those who rely on fortune tellers and reckoners of times and seasons. My times are in your hand, David says. Therefore save me from the hand of my enemies and from them that hound me. Since to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time for war, a time for peace, as we find in Kehelet, David declares that he has given over all his times to Hashem. Let him guide me towards those times when I can be victorious in battle. A man's life is called Chayim, a plural form, for it comprises all of the different periods of his life. Hence David says, I have placed my times, all the periods of my life, the years of accent and growth, the years of standstill and the years of decline in your hand. My times are in your hand. Each and every moment you cause life to flow into every living creature. If divine supervision were to cease for an instant, everything would cease to be. Accordingly, we declare in our daily prayers, he renews the works of creation every day continuously. HaMachadish B'chol Yom Tomid Ma'asiv Vereshus. Pasuk Yizayin, Pasuk 17, Ho'iru Panecho Al Avdecho Hoshieni B'chastecho. Make your face to shine upon your servant, deliver me in your loving kindness. Make your face shine upon your servant. Deliverance as Trump is called God shining his face. Therefore David says, deliver me, even if I'm not worthy of your deliverance, nonetheless deliver me out of your loving kindness. David asked that Hashem show him always a shining face, not an angry face. He would then be assured of deliverance that stems from his loving kindness. Pasuk Yud Ches, Pasuk 18. Hashem al evosham kikrasicho yevoshu rishoim yitmudushol. O Hashem, let me not be ashamed, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed, let them be put to silence in Sheol. David pleads, O Hashem, let me not be ashamed, because I have called upon you. It is unbecoming that I should suffer humiliation. Rather, let the wicked be ashamed, let them be put to silence in Sheol. May they be silenced forever by death. Let them be put to silence, cut off from life, because they did not call upon you. Because I call upon you, answer me so that I may not be ashamed. This will show the difference between me and those who call upon idols. As it says, let the wicked be ashamed for calling me in the name of other gods. They deserve to be ashamed, and may their humiliation be so devastating that it will kill them and remove them into the pit of Sheol. May they suffer the fate of the false prophets of Baal, whose pleas were not answered when the Yoel's plea was answered, as found in Melachim Aleph. A figurative reading of the pasuk yields the following interpretation. Moderation is a fine, a virtue, practiced by our forefathers. Does Yaakov merely ask for bread to eat and a garment to wear? He did not demand royal robes. It is different today, when all demand luxuries and when as a result Israel has become terribly impoverished. Accordingly, King David says here, O Hashem, let me not be ashamed, for I have called upon you. I only ask for the necessary things, never for luxuries. Let the wicked who cry, give, give, as found in Mishlei, be ashamed, and let them become silent as the pit. Let them be like the grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied. Pasuk Yutes, Pasuk 19. Te olam no sifse shoker hadovros al tzadik osok begavo vavus. Let lying lips be stilled that speak arrogantly against the righteous with pride and contempt. David speaks out against his foes who convinced Sheol that he wanted his downfall. Let lying lips be stilled that speak arrogantly against the righteous of revolt and condemnation, and who would drive me away from cleaving to the inheritance of Hashem. They speak arrogantly against the righteous with pride and contempt by telling Sheol that because I am descended from Rus the Moabite, I am unfit to reign. Let lying lips which say that I am being hounded because of my sins be stilled. Thus David said earlier, many are there that say of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in Hashem. They say this out of great pride in what they are and what they possess. But the tzaddik does not place great value on the good things of this world, only the good things that await him in the world to come. Some explain the present pasuk is a continuation of what came before. Let the wicked be ashamed, let them be put to silence in Sheol. David says, then the lying lips will be stilled that speak arrogantly against the righteous one of the world. Hashem blessed be he, for there is a profanation of Hashem's name when they hound me, and if you save me, there will be a sanctification of Hashem's name. Pasuk 20. Morav tuvcho shesofanto lireecho pa'alto lachosim boch neged b'nei odom. O how abundant is your goodness which you have hidden away from them that fear you, which you have performed for them that take refuge in you in the sight of the sons of men. Wicked men who speak arrogantly against the righteous with pride and contempt do not know how abundant is your goodness which you have hidden away in the world to come for them that fear you. They do not notice because they see how debased and powerless the righteous are in this world. However, there are some righteous men for whom you have performed. You have also given them the good things of this world. Let them not be humiliated in the sight of the sons of men just because they take refuge in you. How abundant is your goodness! God alone knows the good that awaits the righteous man in the world to come. We mortals cannot conceive the nature of the spiritual benefit, for we can only grasp what is perceived by our senses. there is no similarity or analogy between what the senses tell us and the spiritual good which you have hidden away for them that fear you. Thus our sages have said, in the world to come there is no eating or drinking, but the righteous are seated with their crowns on their heads, and they partake of the radiance of the divine presence, the Shekhinah. A literal meaning of the words Neged Mnei Adam, against the sons of men, yields the interpretation: those who take refuge in you have done something very great, for it is natural for the human being to cast off the yoke of heaven, whereas they have gone against human nature. You have not proclaimed openly in the sight of the sons of men the great reward that awaits them that take refuge in you. For your way is not as the way of men who promise much but fail to do even a little. How abundant is your goodness! Because their reward is concealed, the righteous are spared the envy of other men. Thus the scripture says, you have performed for them that take refuge in you in the sight of the sons of men. You hide them in the cover of your presence from the plottings of men. You conceal them in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. In the sight of the sons of men, it is the way of men that when one person promises something to another and then adds to it, the addition is less than the main gift. This is not God's way. The good that is concealed is immeasurably more than the thing which has been promised. Then again, the pasuk says, how abundant is your goodness in the sight of the sons of men. Hashem has revealed in the Torah the physical reward, that which is in the sight of men. The Torah conceals the spiritual reward. Pasuk Chav Aleph, Pasuk 21. Tastire b'seiser p'necho b'ruchse ish tizpenem b'suko b'riv l'shonos. You hide them in the cover of your presence from the plottings of men. You conceal them in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. David pleads on behalf of the righteous. Hide them in the cover of your presence from the plottings of men. Shield the righteous from those who join together for an evil impulse against them. Some interpret the words rachsi as a figurative reference to arrogant and haughty men. Thus the Torah says, and the rough high places, rachsim, will be made plain. It's a passage that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Save them from the intrigues and sly ways of men. Conceal them in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Another interpretation says, although you hide your face, tassire penachem, in order to save them from the cunning ways of the man, that is, the evil inclination in man, still conceal them in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Pasuk Chav Beis, Baruch Hashem ki hifli chasto li bi'ir matzor. Blessed be Hashem, for he has shown me all his wondrous loving kindness in the fortified city. David blesses Hashem for having saved him from capture by Shaul in the fortified town of Kilio, as found in Shmuel Aleph, when he is warned by the Urim and Tumim that the people of Kilio would hand him over to his enemy. This was a wondrous kindness, for he had not inquired, for he had, in the prescribed manner, he had asked two questions at the same time, and he asked them in the wrong order. Nonetheless, Hashem answered him. A man may be saved from his enemies in three ways: because he carries a shield and a jagged weapon, or he shuts himself up in a fortress, or is in a city with fortified walls. The advantage of a fortified city is that one can move about at will. Accordingly, David said, I ask for refuge only in the rock of strength, a fortress of defense. But Hashem saved him in a fortified city. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Pasuk 23. Vani omarti b'chavzi nigrasti minegen einecho ochen shemato kol tachanunai b'shavi elecho. As for me, I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes, but you did hear the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. David recalls when Shaul and his men had surrounded him and his men, and they were on the verge of being taken captive. He made haste to flee before Shaul, as found in Shmuel Aleph. David had said to himself on that occasion, I have fallen under the axe. Nigrasti, related to goroz, an axe. I am cut off. Nigzarti, literally cut in pieces from before your eyes. But you did hear the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you from inside the fortified city of Keilah. You saved me through your wondrous loving kindness. That is in the way that is transcended the natural order of things. Pasuk Chav Dalud, Pasuk 24. Ahavu es Hashem kol chasidov amunim noser Hashem u'mishalem al yeser osei gava. O love you Hashem, all his devoted ones. Hashem preserves the faithful and plentifully repays him who acts heartily. The deliverance of David is an omen for the deliverance of the Jewish people. And so he says, O love you Hashem, all his devoted ones. Hashem preserves the faithful who believe in this deliverance and rely on him, but he plentifully repays him who acts haughtily by keeping aloof from him measure for measure. Based on the reading of Amunim as Amnim, Amains, our sages teach, those are the devout believers who respond Amen when they hear the benediction of the Shemone Esrei. Blessed are you, Hashem, who revives the dead. Although they have neither yet seen the dead revived, they nonetheless believe him. Love you, the Lord, all his devoted ones, even if he does not grant all your petitions. For at times he repays the wicked more than is their due, despite their arrogance. And if that is so for them that anger him, assuredly he will repay to those who love him more than is their due. So do not despair. Pasuk Chav Hei, Pasuk 25. Chizku ve'yamez levavchem kol miyachem Hashem. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for Hashem. Just as I was helped when I waited for Hashem, David says, so must all of you who wait for Hashem be strong and let your heart take courage. Do not give up hope even in the midst of affliction. Earlier he complained, my eye wastes away with vexation. My life is spent in sorrow and my years in sighing. Here he goes back to what he said similarly at the beginning of the present psalm. In you, O Hashem, I have taken refuge. Therefore be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for Hashem. Even if your waiting continues a very long time, do not despair. For the end, Hashem will strengthen your hearts, just as He strengthened my heart. Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk 1, Chapter 32, Pasuk 1. The David Maskil Ashrei Nesu Pesha Kisu Hato'o, Psalm of David, a Maskil. Happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered over. In the present psalm, David turns to those whose sins have almost caused them to lose all hope of personal salvation. Nothing can stand in the way of repentance. He tells them, if a man will admit his transgressions, express regret, and put a bit and a bridle on his passions, there is hope for him. The psalm begins, O David, a maskil, a man, sagging. Great sagacity is called for to fear Hashem and keep away from transgression. As the scripture says, for with wise advice you will make war. A pasuk that's found in Mishlei. That is, wage war against the evil inclination with cunning. If a man has succumbed to sin, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, to repentance and whose sin is covered over by remorse. Happy is he whose transgression is forgiven gradually, Hashem makes him pay little by little, and happy is he whose sin is covered over all at once and is no longer visible. Another interpretation says, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven. Even though his sin is covered up and no one can see it, this man keeps away from sin solely out of fear of Hashem, not out of shame before other men. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. Ashrei Adam lo yachshov Hashem lo ovon ve'ein berucho remiyo. Happy is the man to whom Hashem does not ascribe iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Happy is the man who has attained the level of excellence whereby all his transgressions are forgiven and his sins covered up. However, he is the greater excellence to whom Hashem does not ascribe iniquity. There is iniquity which is not reckoned in the sum of iniquities, as when a person has sinned three times but repented at the fourth. God is strict with the righteous man to a hair's breadth, and the greater the person, the more severely he is judged. Accordingly, David says, "Happy is the man, the simple man, to whom Hashem does not ascribe iniquity. His actions are not held against him." But David, because of his great fear of Hashem, judges himself with the greatest severity. He is afraid of having never adequately done his duty. To what can this thing be compared? A very rich man ran into debt, and he was secretly envious of the poor folk who came to him for a donation. They at least sustained themselves in this manner, by begging, "But I will end up without bread." A subtle interpretation says, "Happy is the man to whom Hashem does not ascribe iniquity." Who is that man? One who is guilty of iniquity in his own eyes, although there is not a moment when he is not involved in fulfilling, "I set Hashem always before me." Happy is the man to whom Hashem does not ascribe iniquity can be understood with the help of a parable. A man owed a great deal of money, and his creditor took him to court. He had no money to repay the debt, however, and his friend advised him to plead poverty. So he went home, harnessed his magnificent carriage, and attired himself in expensive garments in preparation for his appointment at court. Please turn tape over to side B. "What are you doing?" cried his wife. "If you arrive at the court wearing your expensive overcoat and plead poverty, they will laugh at you and will not believe you. They will say you could even pay with the coat on your shoulders." Now let us see what this parable symbolizes. Man is under obligation to his Maker to keep the mitzvahs and practice benevolence. Instead, he pleads exhaustion and that he lacks the strength to handle life's challenges. But the little he does manage to accomplish totally depletes his meager resources. This claim is acceptable so long as the person comes with a broken and sorrowing heart, but it is not acceptable if he comes flaunting his wealth and wisdom. Then the prosecuting angel demands, "Why do you not serve Hashem as you should?" Simi David says here, "Happy is the man to whom Hashem does not ascribe iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. His heart must proclaim his humility, even when his mouth utters prideful words. When a man sees himself as he is, without self-deception, and he does not stride among those greater than himself, he will be dealt with less severely than he deserves. It is otherwise when he magnifies his stature in his own eyes." These psukim speak of three categories of transgression: oven, pesha, and chet. Transgression means willful rebellion for its own sake, and the scripture says, "Happy is he whose transgression is forgiven." Iniquity is deliberate sin committed out of fickle passion, and it says, "Happy is the man to whom Hashem does not ascribe iniquity." Sin is non-deliberate transgression, and it says, "Whose sin is covered up, that man is happy." David says, "Who has atoned for all these transgressions, provided his repentance is sincere, free of guile?" Thus we find that during the Simchas Beis Hashem and the Beis Hamikdash, utterly pious men would chant, "Happy is our youth that it has not shamed our old age." Penitents would chant, "Happy is our old age that has atoned for our youth." Both these and those would chant, "Happy is he who has not sinned and the one who has sinned but was forgiven." Pasuk 3. When I kept silence, my bones wasted away through my anguish, roaring all day long. Whether I keep silent or keep roaring, it will not help me. If I kept silence all the time, my bones would waste away, and they would also waste away if I kept up my anguish, roaring all day long. Thus it says, "Though I speak, my pain is not assuaged, and though I forbear, what am I eased?" Pasuk is found in Eeyah. Another interpretation says, "When I keep silent by failing to study Torah, My bones waste away in anguish, roaring all day long. Pasuk Dalit, Pasuk 4. Ki yomom v'laylu tichbal ola yodecho nepach l'shadi b'charvone kayit sela. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My sap was turned into the drought of summer, sela. My affliction was terrible and long lasting, for day and night your hand was heavy, and my sap was turned into the drought of summer. The latter says, the moisture of my body was replaced by the worst possible dryness, like a drought in the summer that continues for a long time. The daytime usually eases a sick man's suffering, but your hand was heavy upon me both day and night. David was worried about his sins. He says, when I kept silence and did not admit my transgressions before you, my bones wasted away because of my groans. When I kept silence, if there was a moment when I was silent and I did not roar about my sins, the reason was that my bones were wasted away through my anguish, roaring all day long. My shrieking wasted my bones away until I could no longer shriek. For day and night I worry about sins, lest your hand be heavy upon me in harsh punishment. As a result of constant worry, my flesh has dried up, and instead of body fat, there is aridity and dryness. David was always afraid that his sin with Bathsheba had not been removed by his suffering. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. Chotasi odi acho v'avoni lo chisisi omarti ode alei b'sho'ay l'Hashem ve'ato nesos avon chotasi selam. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to Hashem, and you did forgive the iniquity of my sin, Stella. When I saw myself terribly stricken by harsh and prolonged affliction, I examined my deeds. It became clear that this had not come upon me on account of my unwitting sins, Chatoin, but was due to my deliberate iniquities, Avonos. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. David's confession alludes to all three kinds of transgressions mentioned above, Chet, Oven, and Pesha, just as all three were mentioned in the first two verses of this psalm. Although the hidden things are revealed before you, as the pasuk is found in the Chumash Devarim, I acknowledge my sin to you, I confessed it, I did not hide it, I said I will confess my transgressions to Hashem, and after I confess, you did too, will forgive the iniquity of my sin. David speaks here in the past by means of the future tense. What he says pertains to all who repent. Immediately after I said that I will confess my transgressions, you did forgive the iniquity of my sin. Similarly, we find that when David said to the prophet Nathan, I have sinned, Nathan said, Hashem also has put away your sin. The pasuk is found in Shmuel Beis. I said in my heart, I will confess my transgressions. I will acknowledge only my most terrible transgressions, and you will then forgive the less damning iniquity and sin. This relates to the principle of Torah law that the lesser is absorbed in the greater. If a man incurs two punishments, one more harsh than the other, he is sentenced to suffer the harsh punishment and is exempt from the light punishment. Similarly, David says here, when I am afflicted for the more terrible sin, the lighter punishment will be set aside. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Al zos yispalel kol chosid eilecho le'eis mitzo rak l'shetev mayim rabim eilav lo yagiu. For this let every man of piety pray to you in a time when you may be found. Then surely the overflowing mighty waters will not reach it. Now that the people have seen that you heard my prayer, and you did forgive the iniquity of my sin, henceforth let every man of piety pray to you in the time when you may be found. The proper time is the moment when he finds that his heart is ready to address you, after he has been perfected by remorse and repentance. Then he will not perish on account of his sin, and the overflowing mighty waters will not reach him. He will be spared the suffering that comes in the wake of calamities such as mighty floods. The literal meaning of Le'es Matzo is in time of finding, which has prompted the following interpretation of the present verse. When great suffering and troubles find you as they found me, when the overflowing mighty waters come, they will not reach you. As the scripture says, but with an overflowing flood that passes, he will make an end of the place. A pasuk is found in Sefer Nochum. The flood waters will only destroy the place that Hashem wished destroyed. Men of piety will be saved. For this, let every man of piety pray to you in a time when you may be found. When he finds you, may his prayers be accepted that this should happen, namely that when the overflowing mighty waters come, they will not reach him. In other words, they should pray not to fall into the hands of the nations who are likened to overflowing mighty waters. Thus we find that David prayed, I am in great distress. Let us fall now into the hand of Hashem, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. A pasuk that's found in Shmuel Beis. According to another interpretation, David says, Hashem preserves the souls of the pious, as found later on in Tehillim, but one must pray not to be betrayed by reason. One should not rely on the sciences of nature which can blemish one's faith. Similarly, David said elsewhere, found in Shmuel Beis, he drew me out of many waters, by which he meant that he was kept safe from alien philosophies. The Medrash offers a number of different interpretations of the present pasuk. Rav Abba said, in the time of finding means old age. In old age, one should pray that the eyes see, the mouth eats, and the legs continue walking. For when a person grows old, everything usually leaves him. Another interpretation says, in time of finding means death. Thus Rabbi Shmuel said, there are 903 forms of death, as it says, and to Hashem belong the issues of death. It's found later on. The numerical equivalent of the word totsos is 903. The most terrible of all deaths is askara, and the lightest of all is the divine kiss. So in other words, there are 903 different types of deaths. A further interpretation says that le'eis matzo means in a time of drawing out. One should pray for the withdrawal of the soul from the body at death. Rabbi Shmuel said nothing is more difficult than the extraction of the soul. Then again, it means in the time of drawing up, a reckoning. Still another interpretation says, for this let every man of piety pray to you in the time for finding a wife, as it says, whoso finds a wife finds a good thing. The pasuk is found in Mishlei. Rabbi Yochanan said that in time of drawing forth means burial. Marsutra said it means having a bathroom close by, drawing forth body waste. The other sages say that the interpretation of Marsutra is superior to all the others. There is a connection between the interpretation that the pasuk refers to a wife and that it refers to death. For a man fears two things most, lust for women and dying. Therefore must a man of piety pray at all times for divine help in these matters. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Atosesa li mitzar tzitzreini ronei palet zoveni sela. You are my hiding place. You will preserve me from distress, the adversary. You set around about me joyous songs of deliverance, sela. You are my hiding place. I hide in your shade from fear of the adversary. You set round about me joyous songs of deliverance, Selah. At all times I proclaim how you saved me. I shout with exultation. Another interpretation says, you will be my hiding place from those who persecute me. As David said, let me not fall into the hand of man. A pasuk that's found in Shmuel Beis. You sat around me about joyous songs of deliverance, not songs of suffering, but I would sing even when suffering. You are my hiding place. You perform miracles for me in secret. You preserve me from distress. Therefore, at all times I must sing songs of deliverance for the miracles you perform for my sake without my knowledge. You are my hiding place. When a small child is rebuked by his father, it does not run away from him, but hides in the folds of his cloak. Likewise, when Hashem makes us suffer, we seek refuge in him. You will preserve me from distress. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Askilcho ve'orcho bederech zu, seylech yatzo olecho eni. I will make you wise and instruct you in the way in which you are to go. I will offer counsel with my eyes upon you. I will make you wise and instruct you in the way in which you are to go. and the path of repentance. I will offer counsel because I kept my eyes upon you and saw that you had repented. David says, in effect, you will offer me counsel because my eyes saw that I had repented and would be forgiven. I will make you wise. First, I will explain it orally by communicating with you directly through the path of reason. But then I will show you in the book by keeping my eyes upon you and by myself adding counsel and wisdom. A different interpretation says, in the way in which you go yourself, go. You will be inspired to become wise. You are not to wait for the inspiration to perfect your ways to come from outside of you. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Altiu kesus keferet ein hovin bemesek veresen edjo livlon bal kurov elecho. Be you not like the horse or the mule, devoid of understanding. They must be restrained by bit and bridle so they do not come near you. Because the horse and the mule lack understanding and may cause injury, they must be restrained by bit and bridle. Their mouths must be stopped up to prevent them from coming near to bite you. They lack the understanding to practice restraint, and specific actions are taken to prevent them from doing harm. The pasuk specifically mentions the horse or the mule, riding animals, for the rider holds the bridle to guide the animal to the desired destination. This also keeps it from straying onto paths of its own choosing and does not let it cause damage with the mouth. You righteous ones, and you of upright hearts, be not like the horse or the mule that does not respond when struck once, and it is necessary to stop up its mouth by bit and bridle. Even then, should they come near you and kick, you must take other precautions, for the beast does not understand that constraining it by bit and bridle was for its own good. This indicates that a person should avoid wrongdoing for the sole reason that thereby he preserves the perfection of his human form. To eschew wrongdoing for outside reasons is like placing a bit in the mouth of the horse or mule. A hint to this is found in the words of our sages, to raise up a lamp to burn continuously, as the pasuk says in Chumash Vayikra, until the flames rise on its own. The horse lusts after fascination, and the mule has a habit of kicking. The verse alludes to a man's sexual passion and to his rebellious refusal to accept suffering. Hence, a bit and bridle are necessary to maintain control. Be you not them, the scripture tells man. They come not near you. This behavior of the horse and the mule is unworthy of you who are man. Then again, the scripture says, be not like the horse or the mule that feels the bit and the bridle in its mouth are ornaments. Not so. It is there, so they do not come near to cause you harm. Posig Yud, Posig 10. Rabbi Machovim L'Rosha V'Abateach B'Hashem Chesed Yisub V'Venim. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he that trusts in Hashem will be surrounded by loving kindness. The wicked do not put their trust in Hashem, and so they have many sorrows. But he that trusts in Hashem will be surrounded by loving kindness. Although he may be unworthy, loving kindness will surround him. As David said earlier, but as for me, in your mercy and loving kindness do I trust. My heart rejoices in your deliverance. Because the wicked man does not accept with love everything that happens to him, each thing appears in his eyes as a sorrow. But the man who trusts in Hashem sees every affliction as a loving kindness, and is thus surrounded with loving kindness all the time. Then again, the pasuk says, if the man who trusts in Hashem does not have much money, that's also a loving kindness, for wealth is one of those things where excess is bad and moderation is good. Rashi explains that excessive wealth is bad because it takes a person away from Torah study and causes him to become arrogant. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11, Simcha b'Hashem begilu tzadikim v'harninu kol yishrelev. Be glad in Hashem and rejoice, you righteous, and shout with joyous song, all you who are upright heart. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. One who trusts in Hashem will rejoice in the great good that he will bestow upon him. Tell these good tidings to everyone. Shout it with joyous song if they will be of upright heart. By following in the way of the righteous, they will also merit this good. The present verse continues where the previous verse left off. even when many are the sorrows of the wicked, he that trusts in Hashem will be surrounded by loving kindness. Therefore be glad in Hashem and rejoice, you righteous, and shout with joyous song, all you who are of upright heart. If those who transgress his command are repaid in kind with many sorrows, then assuredly those who act in accordance with his will can expect their proper reward. A man of piety suffered a leg injury, and another expressed his sympathy. The tzaddik replied, I give thanks to Hashem, blessed be he, that the injury is in my leg and not in my eye. Similarly, the scripture says here, many are the sorrows of the wicked, who magnify even a minor affliction to a great sorrow. But he that trusts in Hashem sees every pain as a kindness. And now we go on to chapter 33. Chapter 33. Ra'anu tzadikim la'bashem la'ishorim novasila. Rejoice in song, O righteous ones, in Hashem. Praise is comely for the upright. David composed this psalm on the occasion of a great victory achieved by him and his people. Rejoice in song, O righteous ones, for the great deliverance wrought by Hashem on your behalf. Praise is comely for the upright. He goes on to depict the attributes of Hashem as creator of heaven and earth, and as their guide through his supervision over the deeds of men. Accordingly, deliverance is not due to the might of the victors, but comes by the will of Hashem. Rejoice in song, O righteous ones, in Hashem. This may be understood in one of two ways. Sing to Hashem, or else your praise and song be of him alone, of no one except him. Praise is comely for the upright. It is proper and excellent for the righteous and the upright to offer songs and praises to Hashem, since they understand the works of Hashem and his kindness towards his creatures. Others say that David is speaking of the inner war. He concluded the previous psalm by declaring, be glad in Hashem and rejoice, you righteous, and shout with joyous song, all you who are of upright heart. The upright are on a higher level than the righteous, for their hearts and intellects already follow the straight path. The upright have already won the inner war, but the righteous, despite the excellence of their deeds, must still continue the inner struggle. Accordingly, he said there respectively, be glad in Hashem and rejoice, you righteous. Their joy is private within the heart, where the struggle of self-perfection goes on. And shout with joyous song, all you who are of upright heart. Their hearts are already upright, so they can rejoice openly through songs directed to the outside world. However, in the present pasuk, David explains divine providence regarding every individual, and so he says, the righteous will attain to the level of the upright, and they will then also rejoice in song. But praise is comely for the upright. They proclaim the praises of Hashem, and they themselves deserve acclaim for the uprightness of their understanding and for having attained to the truth. Pasuk Beis. Hoidu l'Hashem b'chinor b'nevel osor zamru lo. Give thanks to Hashem with the harp, with the 10-string lyre, sing praises to him. The playing of musical instruments stimulates the power of intellectual penetration, as can be seen in the case of Elisha, where it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of Hashem came upon him. A pasuk that's found in the Melachim Beis. Accordingly, David says, give thanks to the Hashem with the harp, with the 10-string lyre, sing praises to him. A 10-string musical instrument was used to produce a loud, clear sound. Some say that the navel osur refers to two different musical instruments, the lyre and the 10-string instrument. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Shir lo shir chadash heitivu nagen misruah. Sing to him a new song, play skillfully with joyful shouting. A new song makes a greater impact than an old song, so sing to him a new song. Moreover, play skillfully with joyful shouting. The skill of the musician playing a mouth instrument produces the melody by varying the intensity of the sound. This makes it appear as if the instrument itself is singing. When you play, be careful to produce a trembling sound, as it says, rejoice with trembling. David said it after he brought up the holy ark to Shalim with harps and lyres, with drums and sistrum, and with cymbals. At the end of, we find this in Shmuel Beis. Then they took hold of the ram's horns and brought up the ark of Hashem with shouting, with the sound of the horn. So here too, let it be with shouting. Another interpretation says, then sing to him a new song pertains to prayer. A person should think of every prayer he utters as a new prayer, for who knows if he will ever merit to pray again. Thus it is taught that angels do not sing a song more than once. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Ki yosha devar Hashem b'chol ma'aseihu b'emunah. For the word of Hashem is right, and all his work is done in faithfulness. David says the victory that he has given us is right, and the defeat inflicted upon our enemies was deserved, for all his work is done in faithfulness. The righteous do not complain, and they do not despair on account of what is decreed against them. At all times they are glad and joyous, because everything that Hashem does is right and in good faith. If misfortune strikes them, they praise Hashem and recognize that it is for their benefit. All his work is done in faithfulness. If Hashem sometimes bestows the plenty of this world upon the wicked man, the reason is that he foresees the possibility of good children arising from him. Do not be astonished that I call you upright. Praise is comely for the upright. For you believe that the word of Hashem is right, and you follow it faithfully, as it says, and you will do that which is right and good in the sight of Hashem. You do not doubt him, for you know that all his work is done in faithfulness. His credit is good, and you will be amply rewarded in the world to come. The evil inclination in man offers immediate gratification to those who follow its dictates, but the upright do not doubt in the attributes of Hashem. They know that the reward is set aside for them in the future. For the word of Hashem is right, and all his work is done in faithfulness. His credit is good. If we see what appears to contradict the attribute of justice and right, subsequently its righteousness will become clear. Pasuk Hay, Pasuk 5. O Hay Tzedako U'Mishpat Chesed Hashem Molo Ha'oretz. He loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the loving kindness of Hashem. He loves righteousness and judgment. Hashem loves to perform both righteousness and judgment, but the earth is full of the loving kindness of Hashem. Kindness overpowers stern judgment. What he loves to do, he also loves his creatures to do. As it says, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Hashem who exercises merciful loving kindness, just judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I desire, said Hashem, a pasuk that is found in Sefer Yirmiyahu. That is to say, just as I do these things, so do I love and want for you to do them. David spoke after he achieved victory. Hashem had applied stern judgment against his enemies and to the people Israel. He extended righteousness and loving kindness. Why does God bestow loving kindness? When Hashem saw that the world could not endure solely by the pattern of judgment, he chose loving kindness and joined it to judgment in order to sustain the world. It is thus proper that the righteous who are the foundation of the world should perform beyond the requirements of law and practice kindness. Hashem bestows loving kindness upon the earth in the very fact of his supervision. He is high and exalted, dwelling in the heavens, yet he attends to what is done on earth. Indeed, it is not only upon the earth for your loving kindness, O Hashem, is into the heavens. His supervision over the heavens is likewise a kindness rather than an automatic consequence of his glory. In the future, everyone will recognize that the word of Hashem is right and all his work is done in faithfulness. For knowledge will increase and everyone will recognize that the rebellious grumbling in this world was in vain, that he loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the loving kindness of Hashem. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu Vuruach Piv Kosvom. By the word of Hashem were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. David proclaims that Hashem is the creator of the world in opposition to those who deny this and claim that the world is eternally ancient. Not so, by the word of Hashem were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Their existence is due to his will and desire. and out of his loving kindness he created beings capable of enjoying the good life, as it says, and Hashem saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk 7, Koneis kaneid me hayom nosein beotsoros tohomos. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a mound. He stores up the deeps in treasure chambers. Hashem showed loving kindness to his creatures by having gathered the waters into one location and revealing dry land. Otherwise, no creatures except fish would now exist. As a mound, it is one of Hashem's wonders that waters which are higher than the land do not flood it. As it says, will you not tremble at my presence? Who have placed the sand for the bound of the sea, though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? The Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The Pasuk speaks in the present tense. Every moment he gathers, otherwise the waters would flood the land. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Yiru mi'Hashem kol ha'oretz mimenu yoguru kol yoshvei sebel. Let all the earth fear Hashem. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. When Hashem split the Red Sea for the Jews to pass, all kings of the east and west trembled at the miracle. Accordingly, the Torah says, he gathers the waters of the sea together as a mound. He stores up the deeps in treasure chambers. Let all the earth fear Hashem. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. One miracle was the splitting of the waters, and the second miracle was that the deeps were congealed in the heart of the sea, and the waters were piled up, the flood stood upright as a mound. Possibly that's found in Chumash Shemos. This additional miracle was necessary in order to awe the peoples of the earth. Because Hashem had decreed that the waters should gather in one place, and his decree was carried out, as we find in Chumash Bereishis, it can always come to pass that they will turn about and flood the land. Therefore, let all the earth, the land that remains uninhabited, fear Hashem. Let all the inhabitants of the world, that part of the earth which is inhabited, stand in awe of him. For Hashem may do what he did in the time of Enoch, when the oceans rose and flooded most of the earth. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. For he spoke, and it was, he commanded, and it stood. Hashem proclaimed creation into being, and it was created by the word of his mouth. He commanded, and it stood. It continues to exist by divine decree. Because he commanded the reservoirs of water to remain in their depths, the sea does not flood the earth. Our sages teach, he spoke, and it was. This is the creation of the woman. He commanded, and it stood. This is children. Were it not that Hashem had decreed that a man should desire a woman, they would never bring children into the world. We will continue Mitzvah Hashem in our next shiur.